Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
Hello. Welcome along. This is the Tuesday morning episode. Traditionally, this is the day when we delve into our mailbag, read out some of the contributions from you, the cunters. We'll get right to that in a minute. If you remember in the last episode, Sam, I signed up to nextdoor.co.uk.
Yeah.
For local gossip, tittle tattle.
How's that been going for you?
It's all right. I mean, like I said to you, I think that this is some kind of front for, what do we call it? Swinging, sex parties, wife swapping, whatever you want. And I think that's what's going on here.
Right.
I had a piece on here and I've lost it. Now there it is. One message that I found. It says, I won't name the person who's posted it, but it says, "Hi, can anyone let me know how to or where to learn about fly fishing?
Oh,
I can swap a lesson for some dog grooming. Thanks."
Oh,
there it is. There it is. Fly fishing for dog grooming.
Fly fishing. You've got to know all the codes, haven't you?
It's code, isn't it? It's code. So I'll be replying to that a little bit later on. Let you know how we got on in the next episode.
Local widows. You could find local widows in your area.
That would be a good app. Specifically local widows.
Yeah, and you just like it just lights up wherever they are, yeah.
I could infiltrate local widows, couldn't I? Yeah, something to think about.
Localweirdos.com. Boop!
Did you know that Tom and Jerry are 80 years old this week?
That's nice.
That's nice, isn't it? I've been reading a thing about it. It was the 80th birthday this week.
I think of them as older.
Well, 80 years ago.
I mean, my dad's 80 next week. And I probably think of Tom and Jerry as older than him. Only because they used to have, like, a African-American slave in their house.
Yes.
Which, to me, seems like at least should be longer than 100 years ago, but perhaps that's my naivety.
Well, it was 1940, obviously 80 years ago, and that character, Mummy Two Shoes, as she was called.
I didn't know that as her name.
Yeah, Mummy Two Shoes. She was kind of phased out in the 60s, and I think sort of the compilation DVDs, I think she's been replaced with another character now or something like that. She's
really
not as prevalent as she was. But I was reading about it. Did you know in the early 1960s, Tom and Jerry was outsourced to Czechoslovakia, the production?
Oh, that's when it turned shit, right?
That was when it started to turn shit.
Mm.
And what they did was that they changed the names in the credits because they didn't want American viewers to think that it turned into some kind of communist endeavour.
Yeah, they do. It's like, I'm surprised that during the Cold War it was allowed.
Yeah, it was that the fella who was the animator was American, but he'd moved to Czechoslovakia, and he was the one who was given to do it because it was cheaper to do it there.
I can still do it.
Yeah. Right?
No, I'll still do it. It's no problem. But I am moving to Prague. Don't ask me why. There's a few business opportunities, not to mention a few romantic opportunities I'm pursuing out there.
It's nothing to do with anything, you know, to do with communism. I have not been bought by the Soviet Union, and I'm not operating as some kind of spy, but don't think that.
For one moment. No, it's personal. It's personal business, but I would love to continue. No problem. I'll carry on doing the cat and mouse stuff. That's fine, but I'm going to have to use some suppliers out there because it's just going to be more convenient, to be honest.
Well, this is what happened. MGM had revived it because it finished in 1957. MGM then revived it in 61. Outsourced it to a studio in Prague to save on costs. Chicago-born animator Gene Deitch was tasked with heading the remake, but struggled with a tight budget and staff with no knowledge of the original.
Yeah.
No, Gene Deitch. It is, it's a cat and
what
a mouse.
Am I working with here? These guys, they got no idea.
The cat's blue and the mouse is brown, and that's fucking all you need to know. Just get on with it.
Like, the dynamic's simple, right? The cat is just going about his business trying to live its cat life, right? But there's this cunt of a mouse who will not stop fucking about with him, right?
Getting on his fucking tits day and night.
Non-stop fucking antagonising the cunt, right? And then the sadness, and it is ultimately a very sad story, is that the cat, the poor cunt, always is the one what ends up getting the blame for the mess. And always gets punished. And it's either Mammy Two Shoes. Oh, hang on, we're not allowed to do her no more.
We'll scrap her. We'll right. Get someone else in.
Or the dog, Spike.
Yeah.
The dog, Spike, always, for some reason, is on the fucking mouse's side, right? So you got to bear that in mind. But beyond that, you know, do whatever you want. You can have bits where there's a sexy cat in it. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You can have a bit where there's a sexy mouse. You can even do historical ones where they're back in olden times and they're like the Three Musketeers, you know. But just play with it. Play with the format.
Whatever you do, don't end up with them having been friends or talking, because then it'll be completely fucked. So then yeah. What did they do fucking 8 years later? Made them into fucking friends.
They're in friends and they go on fucking adventures together. I saw a film of it when I got really upset once watching a film about it.
That's horrific.
There was a Tom and Jerry film that I remember my daughter watching when she was very young. Mm. And it was, they were talking and they were mates, on they were comrades on adventures against shared sort of adversaries. And in it, they were helping a young girl, and her father had been kidnapped. I think it was one of these situations where the father's a scientist, but he's a goody scientist, but the baddies want him to help them with their bad shit. And he'd been kidnapped. And so the daughter was having to live on her own because it was a situation where, I don't know where the mum was.
No.
Dead or run off with someone else, I don't
know. She's all dead.
She's dead. My mum's dead and now my fucking scientist dad's been kidnapped. And all I'm left with to look after me is a fucking cat and a mouse who are mates, which is
who's
a weird setup for starters.
Who's meant to get the groceries in? Fucking hell.
So she was being cared for by Tom and Jerry. And Tom and Jerry then said, we will find your dad and rescue him. And I think it's like, you know, when your kids are very young, when you've got very young kids, you're very emotional for about 2 years because you're never sleeping and you're just traumatised by everything.
Permanently, yeah.
And, I, you know, you feel tearful sometimes. And I remember one morning sitting, you know, up at 5, giving my missus a line one weekend, sitting there with my daughter watching this fucking film. And the little girl in it, who reminded me of my daughter, was looking out the window at the moon, out of her bedroom window, all alone, lonely, and being in the house on her own, because even Tom and Jerry had fucked off to rescue her dad. And she was singing about how much she missed her daddy and dreaming of him. And anyway, I cried. That's the end of the story. I cried at a Tom and Jerry film.
Well, there we are. I would have cried because they were friends and fucking speaking and all that, because I couldn't stand any of that shit, but there you go. But if you want to go on musicmagpie.co.uk, you can get 2 Tom and Jerry DVDs for £3. So I don't know why you wouldn't want to do that now. Free delivery and everything. A little bit more. So there was the Chetters of Attia thing, and then what was it? There was a bit more. Where's it gone? Here it is. In 2016, a top Egyptian official tried to blame Tom and Jerry for rising violence in the Middle East. Did you know that?
That's not a bad theory. I mean, I don't know, can't imagine how he's conjured it up, but I'd like to hear
doesn't
it.
Really, I'd like to hear him justify that, because seems like a load of bollocks, but there you go. There we are, Tom and Jerry, 80. I thought I'd mention that. Can't beat a bit of that, can you?
Talking of animals, after we talked about Wojciech, the heroic army bear, last week, I was sent by a friend a Wikipedia entry for a character by the name of Sergeant Stubby. Have you heard of him?
I haven't heard of him, no. Tell me more.
Sergeant Stubby, born 1916, died 1926, was a dog and the official mascot of the 102nd Infantry Regiment in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
He was assigned to the 26th Yankee Division in World War One and served for 18 months, participating in 17 battles on the Western Front in World War One.
Right.
He saved his regiment from surprise mustard gas attacks, found and comforted the wounded. Oh, that's nice, comforted them.
Oh, come
on. Are you wounded? I'll comfort you. He saved it, yeah.
I'll lick your face. Oh, lick.
My son told me yesterday he'd learnt on... Oh, yeah, we were talking about how you... I think he's getting a bit paranoid about coronavirus. Obviously, someone's fucking told him about it. Probably
mine is
his sister.
As well. My lad is as well.
I'll have words with her about that.
Yeah.
Right, and I said, yeah, you know, fuck it. Right, you get it, you get it.
Yeah.
If you... You know, listen, if you're gone, you're gone.
You've had a good run. You've had 8 good years.
That's life, son. To be honest, you know, it has its ups and downs, and the great leveller of all is we've all got to go sometime.
I tell you what, I've had a look at what's coming down the road towards us, and I reckon we're all best off going now.
I'm fucking praying for a bit of coronavirus, I don't mind telling you.
I'll tell you what, we've all got a fucking massive existential crisis coming our way.
No, I said, right, you know, yeah, you can go up the doctor and get medicine for this, that and the other.
Yeah.
And he told me that in Egyptian times, it was the Romans times. He said that the Celts... When the Romans first arrived here and encountered the Celts, the Celts still thought that they could get cured by the illness by encouraging a dog to lick their face.
Fuck that.
Go, yeah. Oh, come here, give us a big lick.
Lick.
Come on.
Dog, come on. Bring her
I've got
fucking...
AIDS. Come and lick it off.
Well, this all ties in with the conversation I had with my daughter on Saturday when we were out buying fabrics, as you do on a Saturday morning for a school project. Well, I say projects, GCSE fucking coursework. It's important. So we're out buying fabrics and we were talking about coronavirus and she told me I've got nothing to worry about because if you're in good health, you can catch corona and you'll just shake it off. You'll be all right.
That's but exactly said, right. I said this before. Yeah. It's just the flu.
She said, if you've been really ill or if you've got AIDS, she said, you will probably die from it.
If you
none
have,
of those things apply to me.
If you are very elderly, if you have bad respiratory situation already, like severe asthma.
Yeah.
If you're unfortunately like very young, you know, like you're a premature baby or something. Or basically, if you're the sort of person who could die of the flu, you could
die
of this. Of coronavirus.
Because it's the flu.
It's the flu. That's all it is. It's just a new strain of the flu. And the percentage of people dying who've got it is fucking fractional.
Exactly.
And that's to the people who are reporting having it. Most people are going around with it, aren't even diagnosed. They're not even going to the doctor. So they just think, I've got the flu. So they're trying. I think the reason they're making a big... There's two reasons why they're making a big story out of it, and it's on all the front page across the world. One is because although it is just mild, you have to make a big effort to contain these things, because if they spread, then there's a chance they can mutate. So you got to, like, just shut it down quick, even if it is just a mild thing. But the second thing is, obviously, it's the military-industrial complex and the Illuminati trying to distract us from the real ills going on in this world.
Going on, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but yeah.
No.
And then the second part of the morning out with my daughter, after we'd bought the fabrics, was we went to Costa and had a bit of dinner, and she got her phone out and read out her funeral playlist to me.
Oh,
that was
my
God. That was a nice father and daughter moment.
Yeah, how touching. Fuck me.
I'm not going to tell you anything that was on it because it's between, you know, it's a private thing.
No, that's private between a father and his daughter.
Yeah, as it always has been and always should be.
It's a tradition.
Yeah, well, that was nice. Good day out. He was saying, anyway, something about a dog. Was that the end of the story about the dog?
No, Stubby's been called the most decorated war dog of World War One.
War dog.
Yeah. The only dog to be nominated for rank and then promoted to sergeant through combat. So it wasn't honorary. He got a fucking promoted sergeant because of his performance on the fucking battlefield.
I fucking earned it.
About fucking time too. Recognizing connection with an exhibition at the Smithsonian Institute. Stubby. Right, we got early life. We don't want that. Military service. Stubby served in the trenches in France for 8 months. 4 offensives, 17 battles. He was under constant fire day and night for over a month when he first arrived in February 5th, 1918. In April 1918, during a raid to take Seicheprey, Stubby was wounded in the foreleg by retreating Germans, throwing anger at you. Yeah, retreating, that's about right.
Yeah, exactly.
Achtung! It's ein a dog! Run! Throw a fucking grenade at a dog, why don't you, you fucking vile German bastards.
Nasty cunts.
He was sent to the rear for convalescence, and as he had done on the front, he improved morale. Well, he would, wouldn't he? A fucking dog walks in, it's going to cheer you right up.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
When he recovered his wounds from his wounds, Stubby returned to the trench. I want to go back. Are you sure, Stubby? Because you fought bravely and you're wounded and maybe it's time you went back to America. I want to go back to the front line.
He ultimately...
I'm going to bring those fucking Germans what threw grenades at me. I'm going to rip their fucking balls off. He ultimately had 2 wound stripes. In his first year of battle, Stubby was injured by mustard gas. Oh, they got me, the cunt. After he recovered, he returned with a specially designed gas mask to protect him.
Dog gas mask.
Ah, let's see you fucking gas me now, cunts. Thus learning to warn his unit of poison gas attacks, locate wounded soldiers in no man's land, and since he could hear the whine of incoming artillery shells before humans, he became very adept of alerting his unit when to duck for cover. Duck, cunts. There's one coming, I'm telling you. I can hear it with my dog ears. He's solely responsible for capturing a German spy in the Argonne, leading to their unit's commander nominating Stubby for the rank of sergeant. He fucking caught a spy, the mad cunt.
Did that say solely responsible?
Yeah, just did it on his own. Spotted the spy, jumped on him, bit him by the trouser leg and led him to prison.
Spy following prison.
The retaking of Chateau Thierry by the US, women of the town made Stubby a chamois coat upon which his many medals were pinned. Oh, I bet he got his leg over that night with all them French ladies, all those French dogs, all them poodles.
Stubby,
we have heard so much about your heroics, you nice, muscly American dog, Shian.
Hero dog.
Yeah, that's fucking right. It's all true and all. Now, who's first? He was later injured again in the chest and leg by a grenade. Another fucking grenade! Fucking lobbing grenades at me non-stop. At the end of the war, Robert Conroy smuggled Stubby home. Why would you have to... Someone fucking nicked him. After returning home, Stubby became a celebrity.
It's John Noakes' ship all over again.
It is, yeah.
More of which to come later on.
He marched in, normally led many parades across the country. He met Presidents Woodrow Wilson, Calvin Coolidge, and Warren G. Harding. He also appeared on vaudeville stages. He became a celebrity.
Whoa!
Owned by Sylvester Z. Polly, and was awarded lifetime membership of the American Legion and the YMCA.
Oh, nice one. Good
fucking
lad.
Fucking hell. So that's a bit more about... there's loads more about Stubby, but I thought I'd bring him to your attention following the popularity of Wojciech the Bear. Someone asked me to do a T-shirt, a Top Flight Tangerine T-shirt, that just said, Wojciech eats tabs, which I do think is quite a good T-shirt idea.
Yeah, that's excellent. A little bit of follow-up as well from last week. I mentioned the bear that I'd seen on the way up from Morpeth to Edinburgh near Dunbar. And Jamie Murphy's got in touch and says, the bear you speak of is the John Muir Memorial Bear in Dunbar. Oh. John Muir was a naturalist and not a giant bear, says Jamie. And I've done a little bit of digging into John Muir. And he was a Scotsman who moved to America, and he was a naturalist and a botanist and all that. And he lived pretty much in the wild, discovering shit and that in the late 1900s. He had a great big long beard, as you'd expect someone who lived in the wild. And the most interesting bit is in the personal life section on Wikipedia for John Muir, which is always the best bit of anyone's Wikipedia page, let's be honest. It says, in 1878, when he was nearing the age of 40, Muir's friends pressured him to return to society.
John, fucking hell.
John.
Leave off.
Come back from the woods. You need to return to society, John. Please.
You're pressuring me. I don't like to be pressured. I feel under a huge amount of pressure from you guys.
But he did. He got married and he had two daughters. But his biography says that his heart remained wild. His wife understood his needs. And after seeing his restlessness at their ranch, she would sometimes shoo him back up to the mountains. Go on, John. Shoo. Shoo. Up the mountains you go.
Up you go.
And it's just
you bastard.
It's your man there from an earlier episode. He used to go and reset his demons in the woods. It's all tied in with that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
All tied in with
earlier
that.
Earlier episodes, he was one of the most legendary bullshitters in Manchester, if I remember.
Yeah,
Same guy who shagged all the Man United's players' wives.
That's right. I don't know.
Well, thanks for that, Jamie Murphy. That's a good bear story. Not as good as Wojciech, but it's good to hear about the lives of any naturalists.
And I said we were going to have a follow-up on John Noakes as well, because we were talking about John Noakes, about when he left Blue Peter and took Shep with him.
Yeah.
And angered Biddy Baxter. Well, Matt Gardner has got in touch, and he's given us a long, not too long, update on it, what everything had happened. He says, the whole Noakes-Shep-Baxter thing goes beyond what you mentioned and may paint John Noakes in a worse light.
Oh, no.
Thought I'd bring
not
you up
sure
to speed.
Not sure I want to hear this.
Well, you know,
but
the truth
on,
might
give
hurt,
it to us.
You need it. The thought I might bring you up to speed on what happened after Shep and Noakes fucked off Blue Peter.
Yeah.
While Noakes was Shep's guardian, the BBC still legally owned the dog and said that Noakes couldn't use Shep for advertising or commercial purposes. But the Beeb promised to cover all of Shep's costs from the Blue Peter budget, so Noakes agreed. So I said, right, you can have the dog, but you can't do any fucking adverts with him, right? Or any personal appearances. You can't take him to a supermarket opening and trouser 100 quid if you're going to take the dog. You've got to do it on your own.
And good luck charging full fee without the dog.
Without the dog.
Because let's be honest, who's fucking Noakes without fucking Shep?
Noakes will have been like, fucking Sofoso, fucking cunt.
All right, fine.
You're
fucking
driving
fine.
Our bargain, Baxter, you fucker. Shortly after leaving the show, Noakes was furious when he found what he called his dog money. I'm going to get by on me dog money. It's way more than I need for food for Shep. He found out his dog money had stopped, which made him angrily ring Biddy Baxter up and go fucking mental down the phone at her. Long story short, Biddy Baxter denied the dog money was ever a thing, but said the BBC would pay Shep's go with Noakes' work and other personal appearances. Noakes was still utterly fucked off, and he and Baxter barely spoke again because the real dollar had dried up. Noakes fucked Shep off to live with some woman called Edith, who presumably loved dogs for being pets and not magic money machines.
Shep, we've had a good run together, but it's time we went our separate ways. I've set you up with some bird, I can't remember her name.
and he got an identical dog to do pet food adverts and start raking it in again.
Oh, the cunt.
He got a shepherd like...
That's out of order.
Yeah, I vaguely remember this from the time. I remember him doing adverts for dog food, and that was a dog that wasn't Shep.
Yeah, I totally do. I remember John Noakes' dog food ads, and that wasn't Shep. Well, an absolute bastard.
And it kind of
wasn't
burst
Petra
the bubble a bit,
very
didn't it?
Similar to Shep though? But was Petra, predated Shep?
Petra was before Shep, I think. Yeah, because after Shep went, they got Goldie. Because Groom came on, and
they went
Goldie.
Into Golden Retrievers.
Yeah,
because they had Goldie, which was Simon Groom's. You're right. And then even when Goldie died, they got another Golden Retriever. It became the standard.
That was the
Blue
dog.
Peter dog.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant idea to have a dog on a TV show. They don't do that anymore, as far as I know, on kids' TV shows. But just to have. We're the presenters, and this is our fucking dog that hangs around with us all the time.
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, exactly. It's like we've got a fucking dog. That's normal. And you should have a dog as well, dickhead.
All
Tell your mum and dad.
Dogs. Oh, the X Factor. Who presents that now? Is it still Dermot? He should have a fucking
Dermot
dog.
Dermot should
with
walk
him.
On stage with a fucking dog.
Yeah.
And the dog shouldn't play a big role.
Yeah, it's
he
just
shouldn't
there.
Do tricks. He should just say, this is my dog, Terry, or whatever the fucking dog's called. And he goes,
well,
sit there.
We should introduce our animals more into this podcast. You've got Nelson there. I've got Oscar.
Yeah, I've got Nelson. Know.
We should introduce them more into it and maybe get
Nelson,
them to do their own podcast.
As you know, often tries to fucking involve himself by climbing all over the fucking microphone when we're recording.
Yeah.
I don't want to pander to his fucking already rampant ego.
Mm. Well, it says, got an identical dog to do pet food adverts and start raking it in again, the greedy bastard. According to accounts, this subterfuge led to a deeper rift between Noakes and Biddy Baxter. And I think Biddy Baxter, from what I gather, is someone who was not to be crossed from everything I've heard about her. A hard, hard taskmistress on Blue Peter. She ran Peter like a fucking...
Was she still around when Bacon got done for doing all the iron filings?
Oh, I don't know, possibly. Yeah.
She'd have been fucking livid about
She'd
that, wouldn't she?
She'd fucking wig at
hey,
that,
Bacon, it's Baxter here.
What's
all this
fuck?
I've heard about you on the fucking gear? Not
we got,
on.
We got one rule on Blue Peter, keep it in-house.
Apparently you're out fucking gallivanting around the West End doing it in fucking carsies. Like you're fucking... Like you're not even a Blue Peter man.
You're sacked. I'm bringing in that John Leslie lad who hangs around. He seems like a good lad.
I tell you what, one thing about him, he's as pure as the fucking driven snow, that cunt. He won't give us a moment's trouble.
When did Biddy Baxter leave Blue Peter? 1988.
Oh, so yeah, that was way before
Bacon
started getting on
it. It all went to shit when she went, didn't it, then? Because Bacon and... Leslie and all that sort of thing. It went to shit when Sarah Green left, mate. That's when it went to shit.
Top Flag Crime Machine. What are you listening to this shite for? It's not even Scout.
Yeah, this is from Stephen Harley. He says, my granddad, brackets Papa, was Polish. And served in the Polish army from his boyhood years. He was separated from his family and after the war arrived in the UK as a refugee where he worked and spent the rest of his life in Scotland. He never used to say a lot about that period of his life, understandably, but he did, however, tell us about Wojciech. So this is a man who had first-hand experience of Wojciech the Bear.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Wojciech used to steal the soldiers' fags, was given beer to drink, and was great at lifting the shells. He said generally he was pretty chilled out for a bear who was fighting a war. I'm pretty chilled out, you know. There's a war going on, but, you know, I'm a fucking bear. I can handle it.
You know what my motto is? It is what it is. That's what I always say. It is what it is. You just got to get up in the morning and get on with things.
And I think, as that fella on the podcast said, when your time's up, that's it. You know.
Listen, right. The war... Who's in charge of it, how long it goes on, what happens, that is not bear business. That is the business of human presidents, leaders, million miles away from
humans,
the likes of me.
Humans in suits. in air-conditioned offices.
They're the ones, as usual, pulling the fucking levers, right? I'm just a fucking bear. And, it is what it is. You keep going until you're gone. And then when you're gone, well, you've got nothing to worry about no more, have you?
That's why I don't give a fuck about how many fags I eat or how much beer I drink, because, you know, you can't take it with you.
You could be hit by a fucking bus tomorrow.
Yeah.
Think of it that way.
Just fucking chill out. Hide some fags in your guts. Get on with it. He said generally... This is good. He says generally he was pretty chilled for a bear who was fighting a war, but when he got a bit rowdy, the soldiers grabbed him by the bollocks and he would calm down again.
Whoa! Fucking hell. Respect to the fucking soldiers.
I haven't got any fags. Where's me fags? Come here, I want to check. Woof!
Calm it down. Big get boy, all these are getting a fucking squeeze. Oh, I'm sorry. All right, I'm fine, I'll calm down. Last thing I need is me fucking bear balls being crushed.
Fair enough, mate. You made a good point. Good point, well made. That's all, let's just fucking chill out for a bit. This war is getting to all of us, isn't it?
It can get to me sometimes. I admit, even me. It can get to me sometimes. I miss my normal life on Civvy Street. Bare Civvy Street, anyway.
And Stephen ends the email. My papa passed away a year or so ago in his 90s. I miss him and his occasional stories of this type. He also once crashed a shovel off the head of a colleague down the pit because he was racist to him.
Oh, my God. Hey. You don't scare me. I serve in army with a fucking bear.
Used to eat fags.
Hey, fags with bear. I'm not scared of you, pit man, with your racist opinions.
Bang!
Smash. I smash you. Now, where's my toffee?
My apples. Yeah, Steve says, I crashed a shovel off the head of a colleague down the pit because he was racist. He was a character. Certainly was. Steven, if you've got any more stories from Papa... We'd love to hear them and read them out because he sounds Papa. Fucking great. Papa.
Papa. I guess that's great, Polish, great name.
Polish for granddad.
I hope when I'm granddad, I'll be called Papa.
Yeah.
Can't wait to be a granddad. I was talking to my missus about that the other night.
Well.
I was like, can't you fucking not wait to be a grandparent?
There's no rush, fucking, mate. The kids are
fucking
just like...
dreamland. I don't want my kids to have kids young. I'm not saying that. I'm not in a rush, but it's something to look forward to.
Yeah. Well, when I was having the conversation with my daughter about a funeral playlist, I mentioned being a granddad, and she says that's not going to happen. She's not going to have kids.
Really? Why not?
She doesn't like kids. They cost too much money.
Yeah.
University is ridiculously expensive.
She's fucking right about the money.
She doesn't want to have any. So that's that. I mean, my son might have some kids at some point, but he hasn't decided yet. But she says, my daughter says that her mum has just told her that she will have children, and that she does want to have children, but she doesn't know that yet.
Interesting.
And my daughter's like, I don't want any. No, you do want
hidden
some.
Maternal instincts that would come out once you're a bit older, maybe.
You do. So there we are. Complex,
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, you know, of course, the likes of our daughters will probably start going on about how it's too much of a cruel world to bring children into. As well,
I think that's already
they?
Starting. I think a lot of couples now get dogs instead of having kids. Couples in their 20s, you see that sort of thing where they don't seem to have any desire whatsoever to have kids because it's a fucked up world, isn't it?
Right, that's their excuse. They just want to save a few quid and have some lions at the weekend, don't they?
Well, you can blame them, mate.
Well, I suppose you're all right. Yeah, I wouldn't mind those things.
Right, that's it for this episode. I think we've... covered the whole of the human condition yet again.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
Pretty much.
That's the world to rights, dickheads. I haven't forgotten about the write your own adventure stuff. I'll probably do the next chapter of that on Friday because I haven't yet put the poll up for what happens next.
Make it a Friday
next.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for your contributions. As ever, keep them coming. All the usual topics and subjects and all that and anything you think we might be interested in. TTFN, dickheads.
Keep it canty.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.